Alrighty. Well, hey, how many guys here today have learned this lesson in life? The longer you live, the more weird questions that you just seem to come across in life. Have you noticed that? They just keep stacking up. Anybody knows besides me and Deb? That's right. Well, hey, that's right. I can see those blank stares. But for those of you guys who have no idea what I'm talking about, I'm here to help you out. That's right. I've been keeping a list of some of the weird questions in life that I've come across of. And let's see if they sound a little bit familiar to you. Okay? Life is just full of weird, weird questions. Here's one. Hey, would a chicken crossing the road be considered poultry in motion? All right, let's deal with it. Why did the chicken cross the road? Because it was evil, people. Just deal with it. Okay? But that's right. Hey, here's one. Isn't it true that he who dies with the most toys is still dead? Okay, come on, I'll tell you what. Here's another one. Hey, is the reason why a chicken coop has two doors is because if it had four, it would be a chicken sedan. Now, you know why? The second reason why I don't like chicken, because their jokes just really aren't that funny. But anyway, that's right. Let's continue on. Hey, who was the first person, must have been a crone, to look at the cow and say, hey, I think I'll squeeze these dangly things here and drink whatever comes out. Oh, that's probably a relative of mine, but here's one. Hey, why do toasters always have a setting that burns the toast to a horrible crisp in which no decent human being would ever eat in the first place? Is that some sort of a sick engineer joke? Stop at four. Why'd you have to make it go to 10? Is that your way to get back at humanity? I tell you what. Here's one. Hey, if Jimmy cracks corn and nobody cares about him, why is there that song about him? I mean, come on, man. You know what I'm talking about, Gary. That's right. Hey, if Wile E. Coyote had enough money to buy all that Acme stuff, why didn't he just go out and buy supper? Come on. He went through all that pain, but that's a weird question. Hey, can a hearse carrying a corpse drive in a carpool lane? Now, see, you guys don't get that out here on the East Coast, but where I come from, the West Coast, that actually is a consideration. Okay, because, anyway, you know, hey, isn't it true that there's always a reason to smile? Because every 7 minutes of every day, somebody in aerobics class is pulling a hamstring. And that's why I don't jog anymore. You know, it's just really annoying. It makes the ice jump out of your iced tea glass. It's just annoying. I quit, me personally. But here's one. Hey, isn't it true that when your mom asks, do you want a piece of advice? Hey, it's a mere formality. Because it doesn't matter what you're going to say, you're still going to get it anyway. Have you noticed that? That's what moms do. But that's right. As you guys can see, it's clear, man. If you start stacking them up like I've been, there are some weird questions in life, right? They're all over the place, right? But look, I'm telling you, to me, I think the weirdest question in life that I've come across to this day has got to go something like this. This is totally weird. How is it, and we could even be here today, that people can hear the good news that God, through Jesus Christ, will freely forgive them of all their sins and save them from the wrath to come, and they just turn and walk away? That is not just weird. That is completely unfortunate. Why? Because this means now they're running the risk of being left behind, and they're going to be catapulted into the 7-year tribulation that is coming upon the world. And folks, as we've been seeing in our study, the time of tribulation, wake up. It's not a party. Are you kidding? Read the Bible. It is an outpouring of God's wrath on a wicked and rebellious planet. Jesus Christ himself said this. It's going to be a time of greater horror this world has ever seen or will ever see again. And that unless God was merciful, unless he shortened that time of calamity, the entire human race would be destroyed. But praise God, as we've been seeing, God's not just a God of wrath. He's what? Praise God. He's a God of love as well. And because he loves you and I, he's given us many warning signs time and time again to show us when the tribulation was near and when Jesus Christ's second coming was rapidly approaching. Therefore, to make sure our lives are not full of weird questions by being left behind, we're going to continue our series, The Final Countdown. And if we've already been here, if you've been tracking with us, we saw the 10th sign was the Jewish people. The 9th sign was modern technology. The 8th sign was worldwide upheaval. The 7th sign, the rise of falsehood. The 6th sign, the rise of wickedness. And last time we saw the 5th sign was the rise of what? Apostasy. And God, once again, I can't emphasize enough, out of love. Because he doesn't have to give us any warning. He could just say, I've had it. But he gives us a warning sign. And this one was the rise of apostasy. And we saw that God lovingly foretold you and I, when you see the generation come upon the scene and increase, not in the world, but in the church, turning away even from the basic truths of Christianity, which is happening right now through the Word of Faith movement and liberal Christianity. God said, you better wake up, folks. That means it's a clear indicator you are of the generation you're living in the last days. But that's still all. God is so incredibly merciful. The number 4 sign on the final countdown, God says, you better watch out when you see this on the plan. You are that close. He said, look out when you see the rise of a push for a one world religion. And the first end time prophecy concerning a one world religion is the Bible says there actually is going to come a day when there will be a worldwide worship, not of Jesus Christ, but of the Antichrist. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God. Open your Bibles to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. If you find the dictionary, what do? Hang a left. That's right. Revelation 13. We're going to read verses 3 through 9. Okay. Revelation 13. If you find the index, what do? Serious right or flip it over, start all over. Okay. Just to help you guys out. Revelation 13, as you turn there, we're going to read verses 3 through 9. And let's see, is there really going to come a time? I mean, we know about the Antichrist, but come on, man. Is the whole world going to be duped into not just knowing about this guy, not just understanding the guy, but worshiping the guy? Let's take a look at the text. Revelation 13, verses 3 through 9. Here's what the text says. One of the heads of the beast seemed, the Antichrist, to have a fatal wound. But the fatal wound had been healed. The whole what? World was astonished and followed the who? The beast or the Antichrist. Men worshiped the dragon, defined in chapter 12 as Satan. Men worshiped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worshiped the beast and asked, who is like the beast? Who can make war against him? The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. In case you don't get it, all inhabitants of the earth will what? They will worship the beast of the Antichrist, all whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. I put this in there on purpose. He who has an ear, run! You better listen up, because God is warning us. Folks, according to our text, it's pretty clear. The Bible says there really is, whether we believe it or not. There is coming a day when all the inhabitants of the earth are going to actually be busy worshiping who? The actual Antichrist himself, Satan, if you will, in the flesh. One day, folks, that's how bad it's going to get. This whole world is going to be unified into a satanically inspired one world religion backing the Antichrist. But the question is, wait a second, come on, Pastor Billy, could that really happen? I mean, John wrote that 2,000 years ago, and I'm sure this event in the Bible prophecy is still way years out there, man. Could this really happen? Could the whole, I can see a section. But could the whole world really be deceived into creating a one world religion? Is there any evidence that's taking place now? Slightly. Let's take a look, folks. The first reason why we know right now people are falling for a push for a worldwide religion is there's now an amazing, increasing worldwide assault on Christians. People, I am talking about the rise of Christian persecution. And here's why this is important. Stop and think about it. If you're going to create a one world religion, then you've got to get rid of those people who would never go along with a one world religion, right? Common sense, step one. And can anybody guess who that might be? You and I, the Christian, okay? And this is precisely why Christian persecution has skyrocketed in recent years. And this is absolutely ironic. How many of us know that Hitler killed 6 million Jews? Right? We all do. And rightly so, that needs to be informed. But how many of us realize that Hitler killed 7 million Christians? You never hear about that one. But that's just the tip of the iceberg, not just back in World War II. Folks, right now, there's over 200 million Christians worldwide who are under the threat of persecution. Right now, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ across the world are being beaten. They're being tortured. They're being imprisoned. They are being murdered. Why? Because they refuse to compromise on the truth that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And they're being murdered for it. You and I whine that our french fries are not warm in the drive-thru. I don't have time. You need to get the bonus DVDs that come with this. You'll see in graphic detail what they're doing. It's so sick, I won't even mention it to you today. It's happening before our eyes. Get this, folks. Christians, more Christians have died for their faith in the last century alone than the previous 19 centuries combined. That's what makes this time different. There's a massive rise. I don't know about you, but it appears to me when you look at the stats, somebody is desperately trying to get rid of those who are standing in the way, right? But folks, I'm telling you, that's not the half of it. People are now projecting. It is only a matter of time, folks, before this kind of open persecution comes here to America. Wait a second. Come on, Pastor Billy. Hey, don't freak me out like that, man, because come on, we're supposed to be a Christian nation. You mean to tell me there's Christian persecution on that scale in America? That could never happen, right? People, it not only can happen, you need to wake up. It's already happening. Let's take a look at just a few of the examples of persecution here in the United States, folks. It's getting worse. In recent decades, we know this. The Bible and prayer and the Ten Commandments were taken out of the schools. Lawyers are asking right now in our country that the Bible be placed on a list of books considered dangerous for children. Right now, there's a sharing of the gospel is being equated as a form of mental manipulation, people. The media consistently portrays those who believe in the Bible as cultists. They stereotype Christians as being ignorant, homophobic, greedy, hypocritical, and sexually deviant. The U.S. Supreme Court judge ordered the end of school-sponsored religious activities, such as prayers during morning announcements. It's against the law. Tourists visiting Washington, D.C. were ordered by police to stop praying in the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol. The ACLU, get this, put pressure on the town to remove the fish symbol from its official logo, called a secret sign of Christianity. A minister was arrested for praying on the steps of the Supreme Court. Arrested! For praying for our nation. A request we know has been made to do away with the Pledge of Allegiance because of its mentioning of God. And hate crime bills are now being considered in our country that would completely silence pulpits across America and imprison not just me, not just pastors, but any Christian who violates them right now. Why, the next thing you know, they're just going to flat out silence the church, right? Folks, you need to wake up. They already are. Watch this.
An arrest for what? What law have we violated?
We hadn't done anything wrong. I was handcuffed and accompanied the other people into the paddy wagon.
Kept taking our pictures and fingerprints. I realized that we weren't getting out right away. Three felonies? I just couldn't imagine just for trying to share the gospel.
They took out all references to Jesus. They said I could say God, but not Jesus.
Olivia came out to the car and she was crying, and I said, what's the matter? And she said, well, they told me that I can't do that song.
I want to sing that song because I am a Christian and I love God, and I also love singing, and I thought that would be a good way to express how I love God and singing in the same way.
In this case, she wanted to sing her song, and you can't say that because it's religious in nature, she cannot sing her song. That's viewpoint discrimination, and it's illegal.
And make no mistake, we're going to see this across the country, in all 50 states, if people of faith don't speak up to preserve our religious freedom.
Consider this. 75-year-old grandmothers facing 47 years in prison for offering an alternative to the homosexual lifestyle. Seventh graders in public school being forced to assume Islamic names and stage their own jihad. A church being forced to participate in lesbian civil unions. A man brought up on hate crimes charges because he wrote a letter to the editor of his local newspaper. A mother told she can't read a passage from the Bible to her son's kindergarten class, but given a recommendation that she read them a book about witches instead. These examples are not fiction, and they aren't happening in some restrictive far-off country. These are real cases and just the tip of the iceberg of what is happening right here in our midst. Across this nation, parents are learning they can't teach their children according to their religious beliefs because it might be considered hate speech.
Now look, a lot of people come up here and they thank Jesus for this award. I want you to know that no one had less to do with this award than Jesus. He didn't help me a bit. If it was up to him, Caesar Milan would be up here with that damn dog. So all I can say is, suck it, Jesus, this award is my God now!
Yeah, can't mention Jesus in kindergarten. Teach about witchcraft, though. But to the applause of millions of people, you can blaspheme the holy name of Jesus. Folks, I don't know about you, but I would say, me and Mark are kind of thinking anyway, that he's kind of being turned up. Folks, wake up and realize what's going on. And just to make sure that you and I, this is the first step, this is what Hitler used with the Jews, it's called propaganda. Just to make sure that you and I sound really, really bad in the public arena, you and I, the church, are now being labeled with such terms as this. Listen to this. Right now, you and I are being called psycho groups. Harmful and dangerous. Obstructionists, right-wing fanatics who embrace a message of hate and fear. Get this. A greater threat than the old threat of communism. Fire-breathing radicals. We are merchants of hate. We are fanatics. We are militants and bigots and right-wing fundamental extremists. Hey, wait a second. That last one is the exact same term that you're using on the Muslims that everybody says we need to get rid of, right? Wake up, folks. They're using the same terminology on you and I. We are next. You don't believe me? Listen to this quote from Janet Reno. What she said was her definition of a cultist. Listen to this. She said a cultist is one who has a strong belief in the Bible and the second coming of Christ, who frequently attends Bible studies, who has a high level of financial giving to any Christian cause, who homeschools their children, who has a strong belief in the Second Amendment, and who distrusts big government. Any of these may qualify a person as a cultist, but certainly more than one of these would get this, cause us to look at this person as a threat and his family as being in a risk situation that qualified for government interference, i.e. they'll take your kids away. Because you and I, Christian, are now being considered cultists. Folks, I don't know about you, but I'd say we're in a serious spiritual war right here in America. Right? That's what's going on. But folks, here's my point. If this kind and this rise of persecution has caught you off guard, it shouldn't have if you read your Bible. Why? Because Jesus made it clear this kind of hatred towards his people is going to be commonplace. When? When you are in the last days. This is what Jesus warned his disciples. He said, Matthew 24, verse 9, then you will be arrested. You'll be persecuted and you'll be what? You will be killed. Why? Because you will be hated all over the where? The whole world. Why? Because of your allegiance to me. People of God, it looks pretty clear to me. There really is coming a time when Christians all over the world are going to be coming slandered, and then they're going to be slaughtered because they refuse to go along with the one world religion, because they refuse to compromise that Jesus Christ is the only way. Is that happening? Then guess what? We are living in the last days. But that's not all. Get this, folks. The second reason right now why people are calling for a push for a one world religion, get this, is not just get rid of those in the way. But now you got to have this welcoming of all faiths. Oh, people, that is all over the place. I am talking about what's called the interfaith movement. The interfaith movement. You see, if you're going to deceive people into creating this one world religion, there's two things you got to do if you stop and think about it. You don't just have to get rid of the people who are standing in the way, you and I, the church. You've got to do something like this. You've got to get rid of any sense of one religion being better than any other, right? Right? And that's exactly what the interfaith movement has done, even in the church. Promoters of this movement have you and I believe that all pathways lead to God. How many of you guys heard that one? They would have you and I believe that. Therefore, they say, hey, there's no need to argue. There's no need to fight. We just need, here's their terms, respect and tolerate each other. Find common ground with each other. After all, they say something like this, in light of the terrorist attacks on September 11th. Oh, we all know that it's religious differences that are cause of war, right? And granted, folks, on the surface, this sounds great. This, can we all get along, this interfaithism? But as far as the Bible is concerned, an interfaith Christian is an oxymoron. You cannot be a Christian and mingle and say all religions are the same. Are you kidding me? Why? Because according to their definition of tolerance, get this, apparently Jesus Christ was the most intolerant, bigoted person on the planet. Because Jesus had the audacity to say this. John 14, 6, he said, I am the way. Not one of the many ways you can choose. Not option B. He said, I'm it. He said, in case you still don't get it, I'm the truth. Not one of the many ones that you can make up out there. He said, I am the life. I'm the source of life. Nobody else. And in case you still don't get what he followed up with. Nobody comes to the Father except through who? Jesus. Folks, according to our society today, if you've been paying attention, you cannot make a more intolerant statement than that. Right? But who said it? Jesus. And I do not recommend that you call him an intolerant bigot. Fall at his feet and get saved. He's longing to have mercy on you. No religion on the planet has that. No religion on the planet has a cross. No religion on the planet has a resurrection. No religion on the planet. God says, you can't do it. You can't earn it. I'll do it for you. Christianity alone is like that. Besides, folks, ask yourself as a born-again Christian, can we really get along with those who believe that the world was created by the blood of an elephant or that we ourselves are gods? Can we really join hands with those that would have you and I believe that sin and evil and the devil is an illusion? That there is no hell? I get this. Some people, some religions teach this. That men for men who murder people, you get rewarded by going to a paradise where you get to satisfy your lust with as many virgins as you want. I'm supposed to join hands with that? Are you kidding me, folks? Read your Bible. The Bible says you better come out, Christian, and you better be separate from them, says the Lord. I didn't say that. The Bible did. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, 15, 17 says, do not team up, Christian, with those who are unbelievers. How can goodness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And he says, therefore, come out from them and separate yourselves from them. Says who?
The Lord.
Says the Lord. But you might be thinking, hey, come on, Pastor Billy. This is kind of interesting. Definitely an interesting message for today. But this is America, man. Come on. We're supposed to be a Christian nation, man. There's no way. I can understand people doing this. And I know they're out there. But they're not going to be able to pull the wool over our eyes on this nation. They're not going to be able to create some sort of one world religion. America's never going to fall for it. Folks, America's not already falling for it. But what you have to understand is many well-known people have fallen for it. Worse yet, they're promoting it from all levels of society. Watch this. You'll recognize them.
One of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be
then
a human being.
How do you please God?
And many ways, no, but many paths
many
to what you call God.
That
and
is
her
crazy.
Path might be something else, and when she gets there, she might call it the light. But her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
And I guess the danger that could be in that, I mean, it sounds great on the onset, but if you really look at both sides, I
there couldn't possibly be just one way. What about
Jesus?
What about Jesus?
There isn't only one way. There is one way and only one way, and
there
that is through Jesus.
There couldn't possibly be with
because
a million
you
of people
say
in
there
the world.
Isn't.
There couldn't possibly be.
Because you say, you intellectualize it and say there isn't. If
no.
you don't believe that, you're all buying into the lie.
Today's opening prayer will be offered by our guest chaplain, Mr. Rajan Zed of the Indian Association of Northern Nevada.
Lord Jesus, forgive us, Father, for allowing the prayer of the wicked, which is an abomination in your sight, to be offered.
The sergeant at arms will restore order in the Senate.
We shall have no other gods before you. You are the one true
God. The sergeant at arms will restore order in the chamber.
Let me ask some questions about faith, which is a tough subject to talk about. Do we all worship the same God, Christian and Muslim?
I think we do.
Does.
We have different routes of getting to the Almighty.
Do Christians and non-Christians and Muslims go to heaven, in your mind?
Yes, they do. We have different routes of getting there.
The Vatican and the Roman Catholic Church. Its Pope is currently leading the greatest ecumenical movement in history in order to unite all religions under Rome's leadership. In 1986, Pope John Paul II gathered in Assisi, Italy, the leaders of the world's major religions to pray for peace. There were snake worshippers, fire worshippers, spiritists, animists, Buddhists, Muslims, Hindus, North American witch doctors. I watched in astonishment as they walked to the microphone to pray. The Pope said they were all praying to the same God and that their prayers were creating a spiritual energy that was bringing about a new climate for peace. John Paul II allowed his good friend the Dalai Lama to put the Buddha on the altar in St. Peter's Church in Assisi and with his monks to have a Buddhist worship ceremony there while Shintoists chanted and rang their bells outside. The prophesied world religion is in the process of being formed before our eyes, and the Vatican is the headquarters of the movement. Is this not spiritual fornication?
If I were to have just read what I just showed you, you don't need to show your hands. I'll guarantee you most of you wouldn't have believed it. You got to see with your own eyes and hear with your own ears, folks. I am not making this up. What is going on in society? Not just a few people here and there, not just some fringe groups. But people all across, not just America, all across the world, are pushing right now for a one world religion, even to the highest levels of society. But they're not the only ones, folks. It gets worse. So is the occult, of which I came out of. I come with an insider's perspective. The New Age occult, which I used to be a part of, is the one who is behind this whole thing. And get this, they have their own idea of how this one world religion is going to come about. And what's funny, it's almost as if they're following a script, because they are. Because God prophesied it 2,000 years ago. Here's what they believe. Get this right now. The cult believes that once the world religions all come together, and they're expecting it soon, that a religious leader will be appointed to oversee all the religions on the planet. Hey, that sounds like a false prophet in Revelation. And then they believe that this religious leader will do a second step, and that religious leader will point the world to accept a new world leader. Wait a second, that can never happen, right? Listen to the Bible yourself, folks. That's exactly what the Bible said would come. A false prophet across the world who would deceive people into worshiping the Antichrist. Revelation 13, 12, 13, 14 says, then another beast come up from out of the earth. He had two horns like those of a lamb. And he spoke with the voice of a dragon. He was satanically inspired. And required all the earth and those who belong to the world to worship who? He tricks people. First you gather the religions together. He becomes the mouthpiece for all the religions. And he points people to the Antichrist. It's exactly what it says there. He did astounding miracles such as making fire flash down from the earth, from heaven, while everyone was watching. And with these miracles he deceived all the people who belong to this world. I don't know about you guys, but after what we're starting to see now, that's pretty easy to see coming to pass, isn't it? But you might think, hey, Pastor Billy, that's really interesting, okay? But folks, it gets even worse. What the occult gets this step two. They are now in agreement that none of this can fully take place. Get this, I kid you not. I was there. They say that none of this can take place, get this, until the people who will never go along with this, guess who that is, are taken out of the way. Here's what's doubly interesting. They say that these people who are, quote, restraining things, holding things back, get this, they won't necessarily be taken out of the way by means of death, get this, but rather they will somehow mysteriously, quote, elect to leave this dimension as if walking into another room, i.e., they will just disappear. They don't know how. They say when these people disappear, now is our time. Folks, that's exactly like the rapture of the church. Don't take my word for it. Let's read that scripture with your own eyes. Here's what it says. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 through 8. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. Can anybody say amen? Hello. Okay, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until what? Until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. That's what we're here to celebrate. Which might say, hey, wait a minute, Pastor Billy, you mean to tell me there's actually going to come a time? The Apostle Paul warned about nearly 2,000 years ago that the restraining influence of the church is going to be taken out of here, and that's going to be the signal for the Antichrist to appear on the scene. Folks, it not only is going to happen, it could happen just like that. It could happen before you leave here today. And so what I'll leave you with is, please, I beg you, you can say you're a Christian all you want, but if you really don't love Jesus, Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we come on? He said, away from me, I never knew you. And I'm not here to get you to doubt your salvation. I'm here to, you better make sure you're right with God. Because this is not a game. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, I beg you, respond to the mercies of God. Because one day, it's going to be too late. Let's close in prayer after this.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good.
Hi, this is Pastor Billy Crone of Niagara Frontier Bible Church, and hope you enjoyed today's sermon. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Well, before you answer that, let me share one final thing with you. The Bible says that God is holy and that we are not. The Bible says that all of us, including myself, have fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of our sin is death. We don't deserve to go to heaven. We deserve to go to hell. And since we have a problem, we don't want to admit this. God, out of love, sent us something called the Ten Commandments, His law, to show us that there's no way in the world that we could ever make it to heaven on our own. Let's take a look at a couple of them. The Bible says that you shall not lie, ever, not once in your life. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Well, for those of you who didn't raise your hand, you just proved my point. That would make you and I a liar before God. The Bible says you shall not steal. And if we're all honest with ourselves, we've taken something, even once, in our lives without permission. That makes us a thief. The Bible says you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. And now the Lord's name has become a cuss word. We've broken that. The Bible says that makes us a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. If you think you're going to get to heaven on your own, you shall never do that. But hey, you might think, well, that's a piece of cake. I've never done that one. Really? Jesus said, if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you've committed adultery in your heart. One more. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might say, hey, no problem that one. I've never done that. Really? Jesus said, if you hate somebody in your heart, it's the same as murder in His eyes. Folks, that's just 5 out of 10 commandments. How are you doing? You're going to tell me that you're going to stand before God and you really think He's going to let you into heaven and He's going to ask you, hey, who are you? And you say, hey, God, let me in. By your own admission, I'm a lying, thief, blasphemer, adulterer, murderer. Let me in. Folks, God's not going to let you in. We don't deserve to go to heaven, folks. We have broken God's law. We deserve to die and go straight to hell. Here's the good news. God doesn't want you to go to hell. So He's pardoned you for your crimes. He wants to get you off a death row. And just like in real life, a person can get off a death row if they receive the governor's pardon. But just like in real life, a governor could write the pardon, even though the person's guilty of their crime. He could write the pardon and say, you don't have to go to the death penalty. But if they don't receive that pardon from the governor, they will still go to the death penalty. Folks, that's what God has done every day to everyone all over the world. Jesus Christ took the death penalty in our place. And every day that a person's alive, God is reaching out to them, asking them, pleading with them, please receive my pardon for your crimes. Please don't go through with the death penalty. And if you're here today and you want to make sure that you're going to heaven, you need to receive God's pardon for your crimes through Jesus Christ. If that's you today, then maybe you can pray something like this. Dear Jesus,
I know that I have broken your law. I am a sinner. I agree that you are holy and that I am not. And I'll never make it to heaven on my own. Please forgive me, Jesus, of all my sins. I believe that you died for me on the cross and rose again from the grave to pay the price for all my sins. I turn from my sins today and I turn to you. I trust in you, Jesus, and in you alone to take me to heaven. Make me into the person you want me to be. I surrender this life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, if you really prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, I want to be the first one to congratulate you. Welcome to God's forever family. But that's just the beginning. When a person first gets saved, which is just what happened to you, the Bible likens you as a baby. And a baby needs food, they need nutrients, they need somebody to care. And that's why something important you need to do now is to find a good, healthy church in your area who can help provide that nourishment for you. Unfortunately, not all churches are very good churches, so if you have some questions, then please contact us and we'd be glad to help you out. You need to get a Bible. You need to read the Word of God. And that's where you're going to find out about God and His wonderful plan and the reason and what He has planned and saved you for. You need to find it out in there as well. You need to pray to God. He's with you now wherever you go as His child. And prayer is not something mystical or magical. It's just simply having a conversation with God wherever you go. And finally, you need to tell somebody else about your new relationship with God and how that they can know for sure today how they can go to heaven instead of hell through God's pardon through Jesus Christ. Well, this has been Pastor Billy Crone of Niagara Frontier Bible Church. If there's anything we can do to help you, please don't hesitate to contact us. Our information, our contact information will be coming up on the screen here shortly, and we'd love to hear from you. Remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.
Thank you for watching this presentation from Niagara Frontier Bible Church. If you'd like to send us a letter or any other kind of postage, you can reach us at 5287 Bronson Drive, Lewiston, New York, 14092, or you can give us a call at 716-297-8783, or for email, office@niagarafrontierbible.com, or you can visit our website at www.niagarafrontierbible.com.